whose work you respect. And yet, and the only way I can describe this individual, in my personal opinion, is just to say old school. But it's this vibrant woman that's out there getting interviews and doing the job, and she's not old. So I'm going to just put the disclaimer out there. She's an old school reporter, the one that actually double checks her sources, knocks on doors, and writes articles that get my attention and you as well. Well, that happened. That happened in the Bismarck Tribune. And it happened because Lauren Donovan had the initiative to do it. And I begged her to come on today, and she's willing to. Lauren, good to have you on News and Views.
Well, good morning, Joel. Thank you.
I did not call you old. I want that on the record.
You go right ahead.
Lauren, you wrote a story. Pronounce the town name for me. Is it Leith?
It is Leith, L-E-I-T-H.
Right.
Little tiny town, just until this morning, probably nobody heard about or thought about a little town called Leith. It's in Grant County, off of Highway 21, south of Carson. Beautiful farm country out there.
Now, you have five states and two provinces listening to you. So say where Grant County is.
Grant County is in southwestern North Dakota. It borders Sioux County. It borders South Dakota. It borders Hettinger County. It's one of our southwestern counties.
Okay.
Primarily an agricultural county. They don't have any other sort of industry for the most part.
Okay, now, how many people live in that town?
Well, what the mayor told me is that they have 19 people who live in Leith. They have, it is a collection of primarily abandoned buildings, some historical buildings there that are being maintained a little bit, but there's a very few houses, a lot of overgrown lots, dirt streets, an old church up on the hill that, you know, the birds are flying in and out of. And
sure.
Kind of a brambly sort of property.
Now, your story is about Craig Paul Cobb, who is 61 mm-hmm. years old, and he owns a two-story house in this small town, Leith. And you know, he owns 12 other lots. And you and I both know, having small-town backgrounds, that in many of these towns that are outside of the oil boom, it isn't all that hard to buy up a lot for a buck. I mean, is that what he was doing here?
I don't think he got them for a dollar, but he certainly got them for very little money. And a couple of the people who he purchased those lots from don't live. One of them lives out of state and probably acquired this property through family over the years. And I imagine they were quite surprised and willing to unload this property that they probably thought one would ever buy.
Yeah.
Or want.
And no more having to pay somebody to mow it.
Property taxes on those lots, the tax director told me, were probably a couple dollars a year.
Yeah.
So now,
the hook to the story here is that this gentleman comes and basically he's a white supremacist. Is that safe to say, Lauren?
Oh, I would think that would describe him to a T.
Okay, and he's encouraging people to fly the Nazi flag. He's talking about white supremacy. I mean, what was the reaction of the people of this small town when this man came, started buying property, encouraging others of his like mind to come and live with him?
Well, what the kind of the backdrop here is that he was buying the property and keeping a very low profile, apparently. People only saw him occasionally, and I don't think early on had any idea, even though probably anybody could have Googled him. I guess it just didn't occur to them until they knew he was buying this property. Well, then he happened to mention that he was interested in taking over the town or eventually renaming the town, and people, others, started buying the remaining property that was city-owned or whatever and trying to prevent him from becoming the majority property owner or just from owning more property. But it wasn't until last week when a person with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is the hate watch, they watch the white supremacy movement, an investigator came to town and helped them understand what this man's motives were, and then they started looking at his blogs and his postings and stuff on the internet, where then he was trying to encourage people like him to come to lease, that he had this property for them, that they could, with very little effort, they could be the majority voting block in the community, and they could have their own mayor and their own cops and eventually their own, you know, their own little government there. And, you know, he was encouraging them to come and fly flags, and he would buy flags, Nazi flags. And so then they realized all of this was in his mind and that he was seeking people to come there. I mean, it just became stunned. They're just absolutely stunned to find all of this out just in the last few days.
Yeah. I can imagine. I can just imagine. Is there a history with this gentleman, Lauren? Is there a violent history other than words?
Well, the sheriff of Grant County, a man by the name of Steve Bay, says that, you know, there he's not known for violence. Nothing that I found out about him in the brief time that I've had to research this Mr. Cobb. I don't see any violence, although apparently his words are inciting violence on other people's part. And so he has been charged with a willful hate crime in Canada. And he fled Canada and apparently will hold up in Montana. Canada apparently is not interested in extraditing him. The sheriff of Grant County has been in contact with Border Patrol. And this man apparently has dual citizenship. And even though now everyone knows where he is, it doesn't appear that may change, I suppose, but right now Canada isn't interested in extradition. So there's nothing to charge him here now. I mean, he hasn't committed any crimes in America or Leith or North Dakota that the sheriff knows of.
Is there any evidence that he's getting traction on bringing more like him to our area?
Well, that's an interesting question and one of the pieces of the story. And if people are interested to read all about this, they can go on the internet and look at BismarckTribune.com, or of course they can pick up the paper if they don't already have one. So they can read this in its entirety. But on Sunday morning, there were two gentlemen who came in around 4 o'clock in the morning and set up a tent and started clearing the overgrowth around this quite dilapidated little house back in the corner of Leith. And it wasn't long, and someone called the sheriff, and he came over. He got their identification, ran their plates, no history, no criminal history with these two. So when I interviewed the gentleman on Monday afternoon, they claimed that they found the property on Craigslist. They made a down payment to Mr. Cobb. They said they are not associated with him or his white supremacy views. They just wanted a piece of cheap property and a quiet place to live. So, you know, that's the story, and
Lauren,
they're sticking to it.
Did you run a check on those individuals at all? Or does the Southern Poverty does a really good job of tracking these guys? Do they know them?
Well, yes, and there is an investigator here in North Dakota. I called him, and I thought, well, perhaps he has access, you know, real deep networking into some of the lists of memberships and so forth to find out if these two guys who showed up from Wisconsin are affiliated. And Joel, right now, I don't know that.
Okay. Lauren, did you ask any city officials, county officials, sheriff, if there's anything that they can do to ease the minds of the local residents, if there's anything they can do to, I mean, we live in a country where you can't say take down that Nazi flag, and we live in a country where you can't say, hey, move out. I mean, we know you own the property, but we don't want you here.
Yeah, I mean, the sheriff said that he intends to spend more time in this little town of Leith and be on patrol there more often, and it is an incorporated little community, and they do have a mayor, but the county sheriff's department serves as their police force, and so he'll do what he can just to keep an eye on things. But I think beyond that, there is little that he can do.
Yeah. So where does this go from here, Lauren? I mean, you're going to get many calls just like the one you got from me this morning.
Yeah, and they started last night, and the Canadian television folks are interested. And, I suppose there's a chance with this renewal of interest in this pretty abrupt surfacing of Mr. Cobb, maybe Canada will take another look at their decision to extradite him or not.
Yeah, but would you? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. He's out of their hair. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe in the interest of solving a problem for North Dakota, and maybe it's perhaps not fair to say that this man is a problem. He's certainly unsettling. And it was a surprise to me when I was talking to the mayor about Leaf, and I said, white supremacy in Leaf. This is probably the most white piece of North Dakota that there is in terms of if you were racist and that kind of thing, why would you be here? Or anyway, and just trying to understand that in my own mind. And he pointed out that there is actually a black resident in Leeds. And so I interviewed him also. And to say that guy is uncomfortable would be a big understatement.
Lauren, I thought that was an interesting twist. We're getting more ethnicity to our state all the time, but to sit there in a small town like this and find a black man living in that town and how uncomfortable
that... Well, not only that, and then to find this very nice gentleman in a small town helping his wife care for her dying mother, who incidentally died the same day, the day after all of this happened, so they were dealing with the death of her beloved mother. And at any rate, for this man to be living in this town and then to find out that all this property has been purchased by a very notorious white supremacist is very, very shocking.
Lauren, really good reporting. You know the respect
Thank
I have
you.
For your work. I appreciate it. Were you ever fearful for yourself? And does an article like this, because these people with social media and everything else, that they have the ability to communicate with each other, and basically you just shine the big light of, the fourth branch of government, in my opinion, on all this by putting media attention to it. Do you fear that that's going to make you a target?
I don't, Joel, it never occurred to me, and it still doesn't occur to me that might be a problem.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lauren.
I'm not worried about that.
Not only that,
but although I did let the sheriff know I was going to leave.
Yeah, I definitely would too.
Lauren,
thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Lauren Donovan with the Bismarck Tribune, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage it. Go on their website, check out the article. It's worth the read. And what you're going to see here is something that every small town should fear. And I mean that. Every small town should fear. There was a man that I knew of in a small town, and he was, and this goes way, this is a way lesser case than white supremacist, but he, well, I'll tell you when I get back because I'm late. I'm looking at the clock and Amy's looking at me. I'm going to get to